Good morning, good people. It's great to see you all here. What a beautiful sanctuary on this dreary day. We are so happy to see you. We welcome you to West Valley Presbyterian Church.
Good morning. Scripture this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 through 32. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer and must work, doing something useful with his own hands that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen.
So when I was in fourth grade, I discovered theater. For me, theater was a place of healing. The summer before I started fourth grade, my father had a massive stroke. And as you can imagine, I was deeply wounded. I don't know if you've ever been involved in community theater, if you've been on stage, but stepping into a character allows you to be somebody else, and your own problems seem to disappear, at least while you're in the role. I continued to turn to theater over and over again as a place of escape, to get away from my problems, and as a place of healing. If you've been in a theater troupe, you know theater is a team sport. You rely on the actors around you. You rely on the stagehands. It's this collaborative environment where everybody wants what's best for you. Everybody is for your success. And in this environment, I thrived. And I learned to build relationships in that setting that were some of the closest friendships that I carried with me. I still remember my friends who I made that first show where I was a spider in the Frog Prince. I remember the friends that I made when I was Tweedledee, not Tweedledum, in Alice in Wonderland. And I remember the feeling of receiving the gypsy robe when I was in the play The Hobbit. And the gypsy robe is given by the cast to a member of the cast who they feel has embodied the spirit of theater. When I entered high school, I stepped off the stage and I went backstage. And unfortunately for everybody, they let a freshman be the assistant stage manager. So I began bossing around seniors in high school as a freshman. And other than letting that go to my head and developing this huge ego, it also cemented me in to the theater crowd in my high school. I was within the core group. I was the assistant stage manager. So my friends as a freshman were sophomores, juniors, seniors. And I kept at it. I kept at it. And eventually, those friendships that I began to form as a freshman became like a family. By the time I was a junior, I was now directing one-act plays. I wasn't just building sets, I was designing sets. I was also the drama club treasurer. I was involved in pretty much everything drama that our school did. And I had the same group of friends around me. The leadership team of the drama club were my family. January of my junior year of high school, one of my closest friends in the group came to me and told me that another member of the group, a close friend who I trusted, had validated a rumor about me. The rumor was false and already well established on my high school campus, but to have a friend validate it, to have her say it, and to have people know how close she was to me, it gave the power of the, or gave the rumor so much power. Life on campus became difficult, to say the least. Not so much because of the rumor and the mean comments from other students. I was sort of used to that. But what was so difficult was the great sense of betrayal I felt. And it wasn't just about me and this girl. It was about my family on campus, my friendship group. She had taken something that I loved in a place where I escaped to and felt safe, and she destroyed it. She betrayed me, and she had no reason to. So we're in the middle of a series on forgiveness, so I'd like to say that I forgave her. We're done. I'll go sit down. The reality is, I did not forgive her. I started to seek revenge. I told others in my group about what she had done. I wrote a veiled story about it in the school literary magazine. I was fuming with anger, and I wanted revenge. This betrayal cut me so deep that I actually left the high school. After my junior year, I fled. I went to De'Anne's and I finished my senior year there. I decided to transfer out away from the toxic environment and away from the deep hurt I felt. However, leaving the situation, leaving my friends, did not deal with the real issue. Even though I was away, my anger continued to grow. I was furious. And eventually, the anger grew to a point where I reveled in my anger. I loved being angry. It felt powerful. I felt like I was in control. Being angry was fun. In fact, I so enjoyed being angry that I found new things to be angry about my friend and about life in general. I developed a list of wrongs that she had done to me and others. I loved the rush of bitterness and anger. I loved that rush when I would talk about her and tell people about how awful she was. It felt good. And I kept up this pattern of bitterness and anger for years. I did this for years. In Hebrews 12:15, Paul tells us to see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. No bitter root grows up. I did the exact opposite. I took that bitter root. I found it really good soil. I watered that bitter root. I nurtured that bitter root. And I let it slowly choke out good things in my life. So I had one bad friend. I threw them all out. I loved my status in my high school. But I got rid of it because of bitterness. And the friends that I was able to maintain, they suffered because all I could talk about was how angry I was. What a great friendship that was. And all because of one person, all because of my anger at one person. There's another part of this verse that convicts me. It says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God." Did I, a professing Christian, want to extend grace to this person? No. I honestly wanted her to burn in hell. My anger was that deep. When I was 20, so 3 years later, I was leaving a movie theater. Actually, I was leaving AMC 14. And, you know, I'm walking on the sidewalk going towards my car. When who do I spot? I spot her. This was the moment I had been preparing for, rehearsing for. I was ready. I was going to let her have it and tell her how awful she was. 3 years of anger and bitterness ready to be unleashed. It was going to be beautiful. So here's what I did. I saw her. I froze. I panicked. I jumped off of the sidewalk into the street, and I nearly got hit by a car. So I nearly get hit by a car, so I quickly dodge that car and nearly get hit by another car. And if that wasn't bad enough, I run between two cars in the parking lot, and I cowered. I'm supposed to be angry. Anger is supposed to look like yelling and screaming. But in that moment, God did something that wasn't about anger. I was overcome with a sense of shame. Part of that shame was that I was a grown man cowering in a parking lot. And shame that I, a vocal and professing Christian, a youth leader, was cowering between two cars, unable to forgive a woman who had wronged me years ago. As a Christian, that's embarrassing. That's shameful that I wasn't able to forgive. And the truth is, despite years of church attendance, despite years of teaching youth how to forgive, I didn't know how to forgive her. Can you relate to this? Do you have anger in your life that you've been reveling in? Has somebody wronged you to the point where you're not even considering forgiving them? In fact, you're sitting there right now going, I'll forgive everybody but that person. Maybe you're here today and you're afraid that I'm going to preach a sermon on how you have to forgive. And you just know you can't. Karen read from Ephesians, a scripture that convicts me. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Christians, we are commanded to forgive. It's not an option. And further, forgiveness is not just about us and that person. It's about our relationship with Jesus. It's about the entire foundation of our faith. It's about the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news about Jesus Christ. Let me remind you. In the beginning, man had a relationship with God. Then Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit and ruined that relationship. Man and God no longer in relationship. Their sin didn't just affect them. It affects all of us. By biting into that fruit, they contracted a sort of spiritual disease, a disease that they had passed on to all of mankind, sin. Romans 5:12 reads, sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men because all sinned. Is anybody in here without sin? Anybody? No. We've all sinned. And as Romans teaches us, the punishment for our sin is death. And physical death would be bad enough. But the death Paul is talking about is a spiritual death. Spiritual death destroys the possibility for a relationship with God. We are dead spiritually, disconnected from a good and loving God because of our own sinful behavior. But God, being a good and loving God, came up with a plan to save us from our sins, to forgive us of our sins, so that we could have a relationship with Him. God's plan for our forgiveness was Jesus the Christ. Jesus was sent by God to live a perfect and blameless life. Jesus did not sin. And then Jesus sacrificed Himself on the cross for our sins. His death paid the penalty of our sins. That's the Easter story. John 3:16 summarizes it this way. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So we receive salvation when we surrender to the power of the cross. When we surrender to Jesus, we can have a relationship with God by surrendering to this good news. Okay. What does that have to do with forgiving somebody who has wronged us? What does God forgiving us have to do with me forgiving her? Everything. This has everything to do with our forgiveness of others. You see, you and I cannot pay the penalty for our sins. You and I were helpless in our sins. There was nothing you or I could do to receive salvation on our own. Living a good life? Not good enough. We needed Jesus to do it for us. So as I was cowering in that parking lot, I realized how pathetic I am, how helpless I was. I could not forgive. It was beyond me. But it was not beyond God. My unforgiveness was not beyond God. God had already forgiven my friend. By His power, He had forgiven her. And He would help me to forgive her as well. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 reads, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Okay, so that verse is saying something there, but I want to focus on like a little nugget of truth in the middle of that verse. The sanctifying work of the Spirit. We had talked about the Holy Spirit, the Helper, previously, at the beginning of the year. Now, I want to look at the word sanctifying. What is that word? That's a weird word. We don't use that word. What the word sanctifying is it's basically a Christian word that says to be sanctified is to be made holy. So to be sanctified would be to be made holy. And who makes us holy, according to this verse? Our sanctification, our pursuit of holiness, is not my work. It's God's work. It's the Holy Spirit's work. I don't make me holy. God does. So God went through all that work to forgive you. He sent His Son. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross to forgive you. And He's not done. That's what this verse is saying. He's not done. He didn't just forgive you and is now wandering off. No, He's alive and He lives within you and He's working to make you holy. If you allow Him, God will forgive you. If you allow Him, God will help you to forgive others. Too often, we fall into this practice of thinking that our holiness is something that we do. We set up a bunch of rules and try to live a perfect life. And then we fail. where what we should have done from the very beginning is surrender to Jesus. Surrender to Jesus and say, God, I need your help. He will help us. He will help us forgive people who have wronged us deeply. He will help us forgive those who we don't want to forgive, even though we know we should. I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to live a good life. Students in the back, you should try to live a good life. I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to forgive. What I'm saying is that we should not try to do it apart from God. Theater's a team sport. Even those of us who perform monologues rely on the technicians. The Christian life is a team sport. You're just one player, and the other player is God himself. We need to take our sins and our struggles and surrender them to God. We need to pass the ball to God. This is what I did. As I was cowering, I came to the realization that I needed help. I came to the realization that this was not the only area that I was unforgiving. This was not the only area where I was harboring bitterness. And forgiving my friend, forgiving others, was not something that I could do on my own. I needed the help of Jesus. So I gave up. I surrendered to him. I looked to him to provide the help I needed. I looked to him to help me forgive this person who had done me wrong. Not long after that parking lot incident, a mutual friend of ours was driving home from Cal Poly. He was driving home at 2 a.m. to visit a friend after completing midterms. And he drove into the back of a big rig truck. The trucker didn't even realize that my friend had hit him. My friend died upon impact. A funeral was held over at Ascension Church on Prospect, and I saw this friend of mine who had hurt me come in, and I hid. I hid several rows behind her, kind of ducking down, hoping that she didn't see me. And during the service, reminded of the parking lot incident, I prayed that God would help me to forgive her. I prayed that God would release me of this hold of anger and bitterness. Following the service, people gathered in the fellowship hall and out in the courtyard, and I continued to duck and weave to avoid her. Until finally, as I was sitting on a bench, exhausted from avoiding her, she sat down next to me. God, help me to forgive her. We talked. Not about the wrong she had done me, about life, where we had been in the 3 years since we split. And I felt a release, a peace, a calm wash over me. The girl who I have been angry at, bitter about, this girl who I hadn't forgiven, I was no longer angry at her. I was no longer overcome with anger. The Holy Spirit had begun to do something that I could not do on my own. The Holy Spirit helped me to forgive her. The forgiveness has nothing to do with me other than me surrendering to God. I forgave her not in my power, but by surrendering to God and allowing him to do the work of forgiveness in me. Surrendering what I could not do to him and relying on him to do what I could not. My friend betrayed me. It's high school. These things happen. There are people here today who have been hurt far worse than I was. And I imagine for some the feeling of being unable to forgive is far greater than the feeling I had. But God is stronger than all of our unforgiveness. With His help, we can forgive. By surrendering to Him, we can forgive. God does not want us to do this on our own. God wants to do this with us. God wants to help us. God will take the things that we cannot do, and He will do them for us. He did it with Jesus. He did it for our salvation. He will do it for our forgiveness of others. Surrender. Surrender today to God. Surrender your anger, your hurt, your unforgiveness. Surrender it all to Him. And allow Him to do the work of making things right. To do the work of making you holy. Father, I pray for all of us today. Forgiveness is not easy, particularly when the hurt is fresh. And forgiveness is not easy when we've grown to love it, grown to love being angry. Father, we surrender our unforgiveness to You. Father, help us look to You. Help us to rely on You to forgive others. Amen.
Before we join in the pastoral prayer, I ask you guys to do one thing. Turn and look at the cross. Remember to allow it to center your mind. That is a cross of grace and forgiveness that surpasses all other. Now, if you'll please bow with me in prayer. God, we thank You and praise You for Your faithfulness and steadfast love given to us unconditionally daily. Father, we have many reasons to be thankful for Your blessings. We thank You for bringing us Barbara Christman as our new music director. We also thank You for the women who are on the women's retreat this weekend. May it bring them rest and relaxation and closer to You. We thank You for Milt Howard and good results from his recent surgery. May Your hand of healing be upon him. We also thank You for this church and all that is done here on this corner in Your name. God, we confess that we all fall short in what is expected from us and that causes separation from You. Forgive us for not seeing the blessings that You provide for us daily. Father, we ask for Your hand of mercy and grace upon Steve and Margaret Ann Joyner and their family at the passing of Steve's father. We ask for Your continued healing of Bob Schultz, Earl Johns, and Dean Latter. Be with our world leaders, our national leaders, and our local leaders in all decisions that they make. Guide our church elders and the staff in all that they do in Your name on this corner. Now I'd like for everybody to take a moment of silence for their own prayers. Father, hear our prayers. And now as the ushers come forward, will you all join me in the prayer that our Father taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. When kingdom comes, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Thank you for joining us today. Go in peace. Go in His power and not your own. Amen.